Hi, good vach. And if you're celebrating, happy Thanksgiving. It's week we have Parshat Vayetze. That's right, the beginning of the Vavs, right? Vayetze, Vayishlach. We got Mikkei's thrown in there. And then Vayigash and Vayechi. This is Yisachar Wartel, and this is my 10 minutes of Parsha. If you would like to sponsor in the merit of a Refuah Shleimah for somebody, or in Zecher Nishmat, somebody passed away, a loved one, please contact the appropriate people at your enjoyment. All right, let us get started. Towards the beginning of this week's Parsha, Hashem tells Yaakov the famous words, Ufaratzta, right? Ufaratzta, Yama, Vakedma, Vatzafona, Vanekma. And you, meaning your descendants, will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. Although, that's how we're translating it. We'll get into more of the specifics in a moment. So this is, in fact, very similar to the promise that Hashem made to Abraham, also ensuring that his descendants would inherit the land of Israel and be as numerous as the dust of the earth and stars of the sky. However, by Abraham, the order of the directions is noticeably different, as it says in Parsha Lechacha, U'ra'a min ha'makom asher atasham tzafona v'negba v'kedma v'yama. And see, from this place where you are, to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. So again, before it was west, east, north, south, and now it's north, south, east, west. So it might sound like it's backwards of a film, but it's not backwards, it's just a different order. Now, the Kliyakar does not specifically address the order of directions in Parsha Lechacha, but here, he takes note of the order. He explains that Yama, which literally means towards the sea, and, you know, we translate as west, it refers to the Mediterranean since that is pointing westward from the standpoint of Eretz Yisrael. The west is where the sun sets. That'll be relevant in a moment. Following this, we have the word Kedma, right, which means either forward or in this context, eastward. And the east is where the sun rises. Now, throughout many generations, Hashem tells Yaakov that the Jewish people will face trying, difficult, and lowly circumstances. It will appear as if the sun has set on them, right? It'll be like the west. But ultimately, they will rise up time and time again, symbolized by the sunrise in the east. Now, the other two directions are Tzafona and Negba. Tzafona, which literally means towards that which is hidden, is more colloquially translated as Tzafon, meaning northward. The Kliyakar explains that as one continues to go north, you get closer and closer to the pole, it gets darker and darker earlier and earlier. In some places, there are days that the sun does not even shine. There is no significant light, right? The light is hidden. Thus, the north, in this sense, represents darkness. There's other explanations as well. In contrast, the Negva, which literally means towards the south, or actually literally means towards the desert or towards the dry place, which is directionally southward, as one moves south, you go closer and closer to the equator, which is an abundance of sunshine and bright reflected light. And therefore, the south, in this sense, represents light. Again, it's not the only explanation, but that's how we're explaining according to the Kliyakar. Now, Hashem is explaining to Yaakov that Bnei Yisrael will be plunged into darkness, into a place where Hashem is hidden, possibly alluding, or most likely alluding, to the Gullus that Bnei Yisrael will face after the Bahamic Dutch's destruction, whether it's the first one or the second one or both. However, Hashem ensures Yaakov that there will be a growing and abundant light, which the Kliyakar explains as the coming of the ultimate Gula, the days of the Mashiach. Now, when looking at the Pasuk used in context by Abraham, one notes that the directions are paired actually the same way, but with two reversals. North and south are mentioned before east and west, rather than afterwards, and west and east are switched, with east preceding west, unlike by Yaakov, where west precedes east. Using the descriptive symbolism given by the Kliyakar, the directions in Parshas Lech Lecha could be interpreted as follows. Darkness goes to light, and sunrise goes to sunset. The ordering of darkness to light being listed first is possibly understandable, as later in the Parsha, Hashem informs Abraham that the Jewish people will become slaves in Egypt, which is obviously a dark, because it's a difficult and terrible time, yet they will come out as a strong nation. They will go from darkness to light. But why does Hashem, in the case of talking to Abraham, go from sunrise to sunset? Perhaps it should be the opposite. So perhaps the clue can be brought from the Gemara Masechet Shabbos 118b. It states that when Hashem promised these four directional words to Abram, he was referring specifically to the land of Israel, land of Canaan. However, by Yaakov, Hashem was speaking of eternal generations throughout the world as the Olam as a whole. This is not the main focus of the Gemara, as it's trying to highlight certain factors about Shabbos, but it's actually quite significant to us, even though it's kind of brief and peculiar. And it brings about an interesting point. For Abram, it was more about Abram himself and his journey and how it was going to lead to the future. It was about him forging a path that he and his descendants would, you know, have a legacy that he would create. It was what he would carve out for the future based upon his actions. By Yaakov, however, the focus was not upon him so much as it was about his children. It was about what would happen to all of the Klal Yisrael, all the Jewish people throughout the ages and the ups and downs they would face. Therefore, by Yaakov, it was necessary to reassure them that the sun, seemingly setting sun, would again become a sunrise. But by Avram, there was a different lesson. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west, but once it sets, the stars come out. By Yaakov, the Jewish people are only compared to sand or dust of the earth. But by Avram, as well as in the case of Yitzchak as well, one time, they're promised to also be stars of the sky. The stars are there the entire time, but one can only see them when the sun is gone. Yes, Hashem says, I will bring your descendants, the Jewish people, from dark times to light. But that light is actually not the true light, because the light of the world is really there the whole time. And furthermore, the light that they see can actually obscure what is really there, because during the daytime, we can't see all of those amazing, dazzling lights, which are the stars. So light can actually create a blindness, in a sense, almost like a dark, in the same way that darkness can hide things, right? So it's actually reversal. Darkness can reveal certain things, and light can potentially obscure them. And this was part of the lesson that Hashem was telling Avram, is that Avram was forging a path. He had to uncover things that were hidden, and he had to bring things out of the darkness into illumination. But it wasn't about Hashem promising that we're going to go from dark to light. It's about finding what's behind seeming illumination, finding the things that are hidden and that are there. Avram was a master of discovering things on his own. Whereas when Yaakov was given this directive, it was about his descendants and how they would operate largely through Golas. And therefore, it's kind of struggling to find the light out of the darkness. But either way, Hashem is telling both of them that the Jewish people will not just survive, certainly more so to Yaakov. The Jewish people will not just survive, but they will delve into the world spiritually. So it's both. It's both, right? If you combine the two promises together, so he promises to Yaakov that they will be able to survive the darkness and come out on through the light, and everything will work out fine. And they'll be able to, you know, go in both directions, you know, north to south. They'll be able to spread across the globe and make different possibilities again, because then north and south are also respect to darkness and light. But by Avraham, that promise holds true too. We're constantly discovering things. We have all kinds of tradition, not even talking about all the things with science and, you know, Nobel Prizes and everything else that Jews have discovered. But, like, you know, all of the Sode Torah and all of the amazing, you know, incredible things that the Jewish people have discovered, that they can find things. That not only that, but they can find themselves sometimes in the darkness. They can find the illumination of their soul, the neshama, a Jewish spark in the darkness. And therefore, every Jew in his own right or her own right is a star that sometimes may actually be obscured by other light. And sometimes you need to tone down one light, and you actually need a little bit of darkness in order to see the light. And to some extent, that's also part of the message of Hanukkah, which is, you know, kind of easing us away now that we're into Kislev, something else to, you know, kind of think about as we move forward. It'll be here sooner than you know it, about 2 weeks. So, all right, again, remember that each one of you is a star. Each one of you can be a star. We just have to discover it. We have to find things, and that we can always go from darkness to light, sometimes by finding things within ourselves and sometimes by just relying on Hashem and having him help us with fulfilling his promise. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom.